Joining me live over the phone from Laramie on the campus of the University of Wyoming, Chad Baldwin with the Marketing and Communications Department. Chad, good morning. How are you today in Laramie this morning?
Good morning, Duke. We're doing great.
I appreciate the time, as always, and the monthly update on what's happening with the University of Wyoming, not just there in Laramie, but its impacts across the entire state. And, you know, with the recent news in Lincoln County with the Willow Creek fire, I thought this was a quite interesting study on the wildfire prevention and the public support for more prevention of wildfires across the state. Tell us about the study and what the results are.
You bet, Duke. So we have researchers here in our Department of Economics and a few other units who have been doing a lot of surveying and some very extensive surveys really across the country, but also in our region. And that what they're finding is that people recognize and support the idea that we need to do more wildfire prevention, things like timber thinning, that sort of thing. We spend a lot of effort, appropriately so, in fighting fires once they've started. But the public also favors more prevention, and so that's what their findings are. We'll see if this can maybe influence actual policy making. But when you look at actually the Forest Service spent $2.7 billion in 2023 fighting fires, they only spent about a tenth of that. Less than a tenth of that in preventing them, and so that's the sort of policy change that seems to be supported by the public, according to the research done here at UW.
You know, I can promise you, there's a lot of people out here listening right now that says, well, "Yeah, we should do more thinning," and it just seems like natural for a lot of people to consider that. And so that was my question when you talk about maybe it will impact policy. What typically happens post study with something like this? Does it get sent to the appropriate authorities, or what does happen after the study is complete?
So first of all, of course, it's scientifically published, so it's got to be validated through the scientific process. Gets published in a journal, and then I think the congressional staff members and those sorts of folks are getting this sort of information. They seek it out, or it's sent to them as a way to kind of buttress what our congressional representatives are doing. Now, I can't speak to exactly what will happen with this one, but I do expect it's going to get some attention. I think it has already actually gotten some attention through some of the headlines that have been generated, and I could see this being cited on a congressional speech on the House floor, for example, something like that at some point, or in a congressional committee maybe.
Chad Baldwin with the University of Wyoming with us this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Chad, another item of study that really has big impacts to us on the western side of the state is cheatgrass and these invasive grasses of the mule deer herds. It's something I talk about quite often with Director Angie Bruce from the Wyoming Game and Fish and university doing a study involving these invasive grasses and their impact to the local herds.
Yeah, Duke, you guys in Western Wyoming are really pretty fortunate that you don't have the cheatgrass problem that, say, Northeast Wyoming does. And this particular research has been focused on Northeast Wyoming because of the major cheatgrass problem there. Now, as cheatgrass spreads, certainly the findings could apply statewide and beyond the state. So what they found is that if we don't do something to fight back on cheatgrass, mule deer habitat in Northeast Wyoming is going to be, they're going to lose more than half of the habitat, their high quality habitat. And so, mule deer are like an iconic species of our state. We know they've been struggling. And this really adds more, impetus for us to fight back against and do what we can to prevent the spread of cheatgrass in our state.
The University of Wyoming's in multiple locations and of course, with multiple industry and a lot of focus on the energy industry, of course, with being in the state of Wyoming. And UW was part of the Sweetwater Carbon Storage Hub, which has been completed, the nation's deepest carbon storage well. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, over 18,000 feet, Duke, down there in Sweetwater County. Proving out, this is a federally funded thing. So this is part of the federal government's, the Department of Energy's priority is to establish the idea that we could store carbon underground. And so and that's what is being proved out there. Actually, Duke, we have another news release going out today. There's another well that's been drilled even deeper, over 19,000 feet deep. This one's a little bit closer to Wamsutter, so a little bit farther east of this one that you're talking about. But it's we're validating the potential to be able to have these carbon storage facilities, and this would help our state's industry. This helps the coal industry. It helps other industry, and having that as an option to be able to keep carbon out of the atmosphere.
Chad Baldwin joining us on the Weekday Wake Up this morning with the University of Wyoming. Well, Chad, just a couple quick comments here on a few other things. UW and your community, you're going to be close to us later on this month. Sounds like you'll be in, I don't know you specifically, but UW will be in Pinedale later this month.
Yep,
right?
Yep, we'll be there, and I'll be there. In fact, Floyd, Duke, yes, we're going to do a UW and your community gathering at the Sublette County Library on September 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. I think of particular interest to folks in Star Valley and your coverage area beyond, of course, is we're going to have an update on the Wyoming Range mule deer herd. We know that herd was really devastated by the winter of 2022-23. Professor Kevin Monteith here at UW is as the expert on the health of that herd. And a member of his team will be there to present about how they're doing. I mean, we've heard that they're bouncing back pretty well, but there'll be a lot more detail provided there at that event. And other things, we'll have some other things happening there as well.
Okay, so that's September.
And so everybody in Western Wyoming is invited.
That's September 30th in Pinedale at the Sublette County Library is when that is happening. Chad, also a quick note on here. I thought this was intriguing. Laramie ranked the number 6 on top college towns specifically for fly fishing.
Yeah, that's right. We get ranked, these college rankings for different things. And, we're up in we're number 6 in as a top college town for fly fishing. Now, I will acknowledge, Duke, that we don't have the great stream action that you have there in Western Wyoming, but we've got the Laramie Plains Lakes, we've got the Alpine Lakes and the Snowy Range. We do have the big Laramie, Little Laramie, some of the other stream action too. But yeah, it's a great place to if you're an angler, Wyoming's the place to be, and Wyoming's University is recognized nationally for that.
Well, Chad, as always, appreciate your time. I think we can't end without mentioning Josh Allen announcing his first return back to Laramie since he graduated, and he's going back for, the retirement of his number. That's November 22nd, correct?
November 22nd, yeah, the Nevada game. Duke, and it's sold out. It's already sold out because people are excited to be able to see our most famous alum come back to the place where he got his chance to ply his trade there. Everybody's very excited. You know, he's the hottest brand in the NFL now. I think, Duke, we can probably all agree. And the fact that he's, finding time and during the season to come back to his alma mater and be honored, it's a great thing. And we're all very excited.
Absolutely a big deal. Well, Chad, as always, appreciate your time, and we'll touch base again next month.
Thanks a lot, Duke.
It's the Weekday Wake Up this morning on the SVI Radio Network.